The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury and I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Maylin from the Hedgehog Sanctuary. And I think you'll know if you're a regular listener to The Parents Show that this is one of my favourite subjects. I love talking about hedgehogs and we love catching up with Martin about how things are going. So as we come into well into autumn, and winter will be on our knocking on our door in no time. It's great to catch up with them and see how things are going at the Hedgehog Sanctuary. So, Martin, thanks a million for joining us on The Parents Show.
Thanks for the invite. It's fantastic. I really appreciate it.
I wish everybody could see you because obviously we're talking to each other over a video call and recording it, but you've got the best backdrop full of hedgehogs and lovely photos of hedgehogs. It's really nice to see it. So for those of our listeners who haven't heard of the Hedgehog Sanctuary, tell our listeners what you do.
Okay, so Hornbeam Wood Hedgehog Sanctuary follows on a legacy, really. So in the 80s, there was someone called Graham Dangerfield who ran a large rescue centre, a sanctuary, in a place called Bower Heath in Wheat Hampstead / Harpenden. And when I was a kid, I used to volunteer and work there. This is back in the 80s. So I left the country and I came back when I was in my 30s or so. So I was away abroad for like 15 years. And I came back and he was selling the sanctuary or part of it. So I purchased the facilities and the land where all the old aviaries were and pens with a view to rescuing. And so he's passed away now, but before he did, I did actually talk to him about what I was going to do. So for the last 9 years now, I think I've been trying to bring everything back to its former glory because it was left redundant for quite a long time. So there's a lot of work I've been doing and the volunteers that helped me making the area or focusing on, because it's 10 acres, focusing on the area to be wildlife friendly, which is mainly creating habitats, but also conservation. So beside the rescues, because we rescue wild hedgehogs, I'm also trying to make that land a beautiful place for wildlife and create lots of habitats for them. So we have lots of projects that I've been doing over the years. And more recently, we've been working with Herts County Council with hedgerows, creating hedgerows, tree planting, saplings, and creating corridors for wildlife, which is very important, especially hedgehogs. They're like little highways that go through lands and behind estates and things like that. So there's a lot of things going on, and I have lots of future plans on how to change the landscape. So we've got woods to the north and then sort of arable grazing to the south side of the land. So there's lots of opportunities for different types of wildlife and different habitats.
So tell us the kind of needs that hedgehogs need, the kind of needs they have, particularly at this time of year. So we're talking about autumn.
Yeah, so generally there's two locations that hedgehogs like to live, and they have a preference to the two. So you get urban hedgehogs and rural hedgehogs. It's just where they prefer to live. So traditionally you'd think of a hedgehog in the woods and the fields and things like that, in hedgerows, as a place that they'd have habitats and forage for food. But actually, they do like gardens a lot. And it's a nice, safe place for them. So there's the urban type of hedgehog has been doing much better than the sort of rurally type hedgehogs over the past sort of decade or so. So what I tell people normally to do, the biggest thing you can do to help a hedgehog if you've got a garden, is to allow them into your garden, which is just simply an access or a hole about 13 centimetres or the size of a CD. That's the single biggest thing you can do. And if you only did that, actually, you'd be helping hedgehogs a huge amount. But in the rurally type areas, what's happened over the years of a lot of habitat have been lost through food production and things like that, and the landscape's changed. So we've lost a lot of hedgerows, which is an important habitat for hedgehogs in the countryside. So that's one of the things that they need, actually, along with other wildlife, as lots of birds as well. So I'm trying to encourage hedgerow creations, and also myself doing the same thing. But I do encourage people, if they have gardens, small gardens, that if they left a small area somewhere towards the back of their garden that was slightly overgrown, it can be messy, depends how you want to call it, but a slightly overgrown area, even without cutting some parts of the grass, that allows creation of habitats for hedgehogs, wild hedgehogs. So that's a really good thing you can do. It's not always possible, of course, but you can provide them with hedgehog houses as well, which does help. I do find, though, that a lot of people say they've got a hedgehog house and there's no hedgehog in there. And, you know, there may or may not be, but it's not a good idea to keep checking the hedgehog houses. So what you need to do with a hedgehog house, it's great having a hedgehog house, but without any nesting material for them to make a nest, because that's part of their job. They love making nests and they do it often. They won't enter the hedgehog house. They need nesting material to actually make a habitat inside it. So dried grass, dried leaf cuttings, you know, compost heaps, twigs, those materials, they'll actually grab in their mouths and drag into the hedgehog house to make a habitat in there. So yeah, they're the biggest things that people can do to help hedgehogs.
That's fantastic. And it conjures up such a lovely mental image to imagine a hedgehog grabbing all the leaves and the twigs and the bits and pieces to go and make his little nest inside the hedgehog house or whatever. But I mean, this is actually a great time of the year for leaves. So would you recommend, you know, when you're raking up your leaves, like every second day, if you live where I live, and just creating a heap in a corner at the back of the garden, and just put all the leaves there so that they can kind of burrow into the middle and make a nice warm place for themselves to nest?
Yes. Yeah, so ideally, so there's no real need to rake up leaves, really. I mean, it doesn't kill the grass or anything. It all grows back. But a lot of people do like to rake up leaves, which is fine. And you're right. So if you were to rake up the leaves, have a pile somewhere at the garden, the side of your garden, and that pile, that huge pile, of course, it will rot down eventually, but it will provide nesting material for hedgehogs. And also grubs, invertebrates will live inside there, which is in turn food for the hedgehogs. So yeah, ideally, don't put the leaves in your green waste bins and just keep them in the garden somewhere at the back, because that will be providing a natural habitat in itself. And there's no reason why a hedgehog couldn't actually live inside that pile of leaves as well. So there's an area of caution as well. So if you do have a pile of leaves, there's a chance a hedgehog might be nesting inside those, especially as we come over to the colder winter period. And the same goes for compost heaps as well. They tend to be quite warm places in the middle, which are an excellent place for hedgehogs to hibernate.
And so that brings me nicely on to the next subject. So is it hibernation time? Have they started? What's the process?
So it's different every year when they start to hibernate, or when they start to think about hibernating. There's a whole bunch of things that go around that which will trigger their hibernation. But here in the south, we've got quite mild weather at the moment. So usually, typically, when the ground starts to freeze, you wake up in the morning and the ground is frosty. That's the sort of time when a hedgehog will look to hibernate. And they do that only for one reason. That's because there's no food. Because the ground is so hard, they end up foraging for food with their claws, which are very sharp. And if the ground is so hard, they can't actually find any food. And a lot of the invertebrates as well, they've all burrowed away themselves for winter. So because there's no food, they end up hibernating. And it's not so much to do with the cold, but that does trigger the hibernation process. So at the moment, it is entirely possible at the moment that they think about going into hibernation. The male hedgehogs tend to go into hibernation before the female hedgehogs. But there's the weather is totally fine and they could still be very active. So it wouldn't be entirely unusual for them to be out, obviously at nighttime because they're nocturnal at this time of the year because we had such mild weather. But most of the time they will prolong the hibernation process if they're not at the correct weight. So if they're underweight, there's a few key weights with hedgehogs. When they're underweight, there's a chance that they could pass away in hibernation because they haven't got enough nutrients in their body. So usually around 450 grams tends to be the weight that if they were going to go into hibernation, there is a chance that they might pass away, but at that weight, they may survive hibernation. But ideally, you want to get a hedgehog to around 650 grams, something like that, and you can guarantee they'll survive the hibernation process. So we do rescue quite a few hedgehogs over the winter. In fact, it's our busiest time for rescues when there's nothing wrong with them. They're just underweight hedgehogs. So if they did go into hibernation, there's a chance that they would would die, unfortunately. And those tend to be late-born hedgehogs, so hoglets that were born later into the year, maybe autumn time, that are juvenile or teenage hedgehogs at winter time. And they can be anywhere from 150 grams to maybe 350 grams. So anywhere in that weight range is a bit touch and go whether they'd survive hibernation, depending on the weather, of course. And also whether, if you see a hedgehog in your garden and you think it is small, but if it's coming into your garden and eating every night, most of the time they tend to be fine if they've got a food source because they can survive the cold. So it's very important to keep feeding hedgehogs throughout the entire of the winter period and even giving them water because they can get very dehydrated when the water starts to freeze.
So I'm really great to hear that. So we should be feeding them. And when you say feed them, what should we feed them?
So this time of the year, you can feed them jelly-based dog or cat food. I say jelly-based purely because you can feed them other kinds of dog and cat food, but the jelly-based stuff tends not to have the salts and the flavours and things in it, so it tends to be better for them. You can give them small kitten biscuits as well. Dog biscuits tend to be too big, and they can't crunch them, can't fit them in the mouth, so we tend not to tell people to do that. Or hedgehog food, which is a crispy tight little biscuit or kibble. That's the food that you can feed them all year round. And in fact, this time of the year, you could give them jelly-based dog and cat food, no problem at all. I do tend to tell people when you come to spring, summer, it's probably not a good idea putting that out because of flies and also other mammals will be eating it as well. So the dried stuff tends to be better. And you can leave it out for, you know, a week, no problem at all. Whereas the meaty stuff, you want to be changing that every day, really, or every other day. So that would be the best thing to feed them if you wanted to help supplement their diet. But more important than just leaving the bowl out, it's probably a good idea to create a hedgehog feeding station. So that's, in its basic form, is literally a type of hedgehog house. So you've got a 13-centimeter hole going into some, maybe a plastic or wooden container that keeps the weather off the food because you put the food inside that. And it will also stop larger mammals eating the food. So you've got a better idea that you'd be feeding the hedgehogs. So maybe foxes and dogs or cats would want to eat that. But if it's in these little containers, hedgehog feeding stations, then you've got more of a guarantee that hedgehogs will be eating that food.
That's great advice. Thanks, Martin. And the one conundrum I have is I always leave water out at night. Like, I think you gave us advice before, like a kind of a shallow plate or saucer kind of water. But how do you, I mean, what do we do when it's freezing and the hedgehogs can't drink water because it's frozen? The same applies to the plate of water I leave out. So have you got any tips for us about how to stop it freezing or what we can do?
So yeah, you're right. And it's a big problem, actually, because obviously frozen water, there's not much good to any sort of wildlife, especially hedgehogs. And if they can't have access to water, they will dehydrate over the winter period. They will do that because there's no access when it starts freezing over. So ideally, I know it's a bit of a pain, but ideally, if you do have shallow bowls on the ground, or even ponds for that matter, cracking the ice open and letting the water flow in the mornings or in the evenings would be fantastic. That will allow the hedgehogs to drink that water. It all depends on how cold it gets, I guess, because sometimes the entire bowl might just be ice, which in that case, if you can refill it with water, then that'd be fantastic. Ponds tend to obviously just freeze over the top, so you can create cracks in that ice, which will allow the water to flow and, of course, provide water for the hedgehogs. But usually, when the frost sets in, there are parts of your garden you'll notice that aren't as frosty, and so it tends to be the areas that are covered, hedges, under hedges, for example. So those areas are protected a lot more from the frost and probably good places to place shallow bowls of water rather than the middle of the garden, which is obviously going to be very open to the elements.
Yeah, and obviously if we create the feeding station like you recommend, then that's probably quite sheltered and that might stop the water freezing too, I guess.
Yeah, so it's meant to be for food, but there's no reason you can't put water in there as well. So yes, that would help protect from the water getting frozen. Yeah, definitely that would work.
Brilliant. Thanks a million, Martin. So like talking about plans for the future. So you've got 10 acres. You're trying to make it a kind of as good a habitat for a variety of different animals. What's the plan? What's the master plan? What are you going to do in the coming weeks, days, years?
So I'm very fortunate to have a mixture of land, woodland and fields, which are both important, especially for hedgehogs. So most of the time when the hedgehogs are in rural areas, they're looking for pasture land where you find sheep or cows or something like that for food, where the invertebrate species, they'll be digging up the ground slightly with their claws. But they also need wildlife corridors, and they're almost like your public footpaths that, and generally speaking, where there's a hedgerow, that's a corridor for a lot of wildlife, especially hedgehogs. So over the years, we have already been planting hedgerows, and I think I've planted somewhere near 1,400 saplings with volunteers helping, obviously. And we're aiming to create more than 2,000 metres, if not more, of new hedgerow. And existing hedgerows we do have, filling in the gaps, because over time you get holes in the hedgerows. So we'll be filling in those gaps to thicken out those hedges. Because the land's it's been around, there's a place called Bower Heath, which is an older woodland. There are a lot of large old trees, oaks and things like that. But between those, we can still plant hedgerows, which we will be doing as well. But with that as well, unfortunately, so we've got lots of small ponds that we've over the years we've made. They're very small little things, but and they serve habitats for frogs and things like that. But what we actually want to do is create large wildlife ponds, which is very important. Over the land itself in the local area, we don't actually have any wildlife ponds. So ponds will provide food for existing wildlife. We have bats, barn owls, tawny owls. We've got monk jack deer, foxes. We've got a huge variety of wildlife there already. And there's lots of videos on our social media site. You can see all the videos that I record. But we also want to encourage and more wildlife there. So having amphibious type creatures as well. So with that, we would like to have some ponds. So the idea is these are not, so these are wild ponds and they're going to be designed by pond. I'm not a pond expert. They're going to be designed by pond experts on, because you need shelters, you need levels, and there's all different ways of doing it to attract different types of wildlife. So we've got a fundraiser going at the moment for our first large wildlife pond at the sanctuary, which is going to be about 20 meters square. Depending on how much we're able to raise, the more we can raise, the bigger that pond will be. And the land where the sanctuary is, we're very fortunate that there's a foot of topsoil. Then below that, we've got a clay flint mix. And then below that, we've got blue clay. And then there's chalk. So it's a really good ground to actually make a pond. We can make it waterproof without using lining. It's possible to do that. So if we can, that would be an amazing project for future generations as well, because the land itself is landlocked by public footpaths. So it's, if you know where it is, you can actually walk around the whole sanctuary and you can view most of it, to be honest with you, and see all the wildlife that is there. So it's quite a large plot. So yeah, that's the idea.
It's fantastic. And I had no idea. The older I get, the more I learn about our environment, and I'm constantly being surprised. But one of the biggest surprises to me was that really, if every garden had a pond or every second garden had a pond, it would be fantastic, but it's almost not even enough. Really, animals need water. Every different type of animal needs water. So the more ponds, the better. Water is so essential to everybody who needs a habitat. And so you creating a pond would probably make a fantastic difference, and you probably need several of them, actually.
Yes. Yeah, so if you look over, so there was a study done in 1978 in Hertfordshire alone from the previous 100 years. And over that period, we lost 50% of the ponds in Hertfordshire. And then there was another study done in 1993 by the Wildlife Trust, and they looked at those ponds that existed, and there was an additional 10% ponds that had been destroyed. So there's been a decline in ponds. So obviously, even garden ponds are very important. But there are places, especially in Hertfordshire, that there's lots of arable fields and lots of woodlands. But due to farming, changes in land and agriculture and things like that, we've lost a lot of natural ponds as well. So they're very important, and they provide habitats for all kinds of like newts, frogs, toads, dragonflies, and all kinds of invertebrates, which in turn, of course, is also food for other wildlife as well. So it serves quite a few purposes, ponds, and they're very important. So it's going to be hugely beneficial if we can do that.
So, I mean, Martin, if there are parents listening in, and obviously I think children are more and more engaged with our environment, and parents probably want to encourage that. So if they want to support the work you're doing in either building the pond or helping rescue hedgehogs, how can they engage with you, with Hornbeam Sanctuary?
So the actual pond itself, we're doing a crowdfunder, and there's links in the bio of our social media to that crowdfunder. It's being match funded by Herts County Council. So we'd like to raise £5,000. And if we do, then Herts County Council will match fund that with an additional £2,500. So we're at just over, as of speaking with you now, we're at just over £1,000, which is fantastic. So if we can make that £5,000 mark, it'll be huge for us. And that money will be spent on experts, so contractors and experts to actually build the pond. It won't be, I doubt it would be many volunteers that would be helping to make the pond, because it'll be quite a large project. However, we do have a lot of volunteer opportunities for helping at the sanctuary, for planting hedgerows, saplings, and also trees as well. And we also have quite a lot of volunteers that help us ad hoc sometimes with smaller projects of maintenance in the sanctuary. We have volunteers that help us directly with the hedgehogs and also rescuing hedgehogs and release sites as well. And we have volunteers that help us with stalls and events. There's a whole bunch of ways that people can help support us with their time, which is absolutely amazing. There are, if you go to our website, there is an area called volunteering on there where you can find out more information, a bit more detail in different ways that you can help the charity. But yeah, so usually it's probably not a great time of the year to volunteer, I'll be honest with you, because the sanctuary is predominantly outside. It's a rural location, and a lot of the volunteer work is outside. But if you don't mind the weather, of course, that doesn't matter. But as the rain kicks in, it can become quite a groggy place, because a lot of it is fields in the area.
So that's brilliant. So if you're in a position to contribute to the crowdfunder, and you and your child want to see the progress of the Hornbeam Sanctuary, then that's a great option. Or if you're in a position to volunteer, depending on the weather, that's another option. Or people can just give food in kind, right? They can drop off cat or dog food to you, Martin, to keep the hoglets and hedgehogs' bellies full.
Yeah, so Hornbeam Wood Hedgehog Sanctuary is a registered charity. So, of course, any donations from a monetary point of view, we can also get gift aid, which helps out a huge amount. But you're right, jelly-based dog and cat food we always need. There's never a time where we don't need that. It's constant. We do have some drop-off locations in Wheat Hampstead and Harpenden that people can drop off that to. And also there is the sanctuary itself. However, the sanctuary, to get to the access of that gate is about 300 metres. So it's quite a chore to come back and forth all the time. I am trying to get like a drop-off point built near the gate, front gate, where people can just drop off donations to us there. But at this time of the year, there are a few things like newspapers that we need. So over the winter time, because we rescue a lot of hedgehogs that are just underweight, as in healthy, we do have quite a lot of them. And we tend to use newspapers for the base of those rehabilitation hutches. So they're really useful. We do ask for towels now and then. However, at the moment, we are good on stock of towels, but it doesn't mean in the future we don't need towels. And we do use towels for inside carriers when we're rescuing, releasing hedgehogs. Also inside, we've got a hospital. So inside there, we tend not to use dried hay or straw, which is what we use for the rehabilitation hatches outside. Because all the hedgehogs are moving inside buildings now as we go into the colder weather. And we tend to focus on using towels and newspapers inside the rehabilitation hutches. There are some other items, like we do have quite a long list on Amazon. So we have an Amazon wish list. that if you go to one of our social media sites, there is a link in the bio and that will take you to our Amazon wish list. And in there, there's loads of things that we use regularly for the hedgehogs, and also some other items for other projects we've got for the hedgehogs, other facilities that we have. But yeah, so you can help us that way, which would be absolutely amazing. And we really appreciate it as well.
And of course, there's just straight up membership. And I think the details of that are on your website.
Yeah, we do have, we don't have many, we're quite a small charity, but we do have members that are really kind and they help us regularly on a monthly basis. And we do have a few plans, depending on how much you want to support us with. I think they range from £5 to £20. And then depending on which one you select, we do educational tours, generally speaking, for children, as in beavers, Cub Scouts, rainbows, brownies and things like that. So we're not open to the public, but two or three times a year, I will invite the members of those that support us on the long term to an open day where we'll talk about what we've been doing over the previous year and what we'll be doing going forward. And they will get to see the sanctuary. But we're not open to the public normally, as in you can't just phone up and come and visit the sanctuary. Yeah.
Grand. Oh, that makes sense. So just to wrap up, I really would love our listeners to tune into your social media, because I have to say, it's very entertaining, particularly like the little videos and any of the information that you show. I think it really gives an idea of what the great work you're doing and how you're engaging with our natural environment. So can you tell our listeners how they can find you on social media and the website, please?
Yeah. So from our website point of view, the easiest way to get to us is by typing in HWHS for sugar.org.uk, as in Hornbeam Wood Hedgehog Sanctuary, and that link will take you to our website. We have social media sites on Facebook. It's called Hornbeam Wood, so you do facebook.com/hornbeamwood, as in the tree. We've also got an Instagram social media site where you just type in Hedgehog Sanctuary, and that will take you to our social media on Instagram. And we have a YouTube channel as well, if you'd like to go and watch our videos on there. So you can also search for Hornbeam Wood Hedgehog Sanctuary on there. I tend to get posts every single day listed. So most of them are educational in content, as in talking about hedgehog habits and how you can help hedgehogs, and information on that and how you can make small changes to your garden. But we also have a few videos of all the different types of wildlife, not just hedgehogs, that we have at the sanctuary. And also we video rescues and releases of hedgehogs as well. So there's quite a lot of content about hedgehogs on our social media sites. So if you want to follow them, you'll gain a huge amount of information about hedgehogs. So it's mainly hedgehog themed, of course. But yeah, they're the best ways to follow us. And I would encourage doing that just from a point of view about how to help hedgehogs, really.
Absolutely. And it's a great topic to engage with your child or your children, you know, to kind of give them an insight into what's happening around your house at night, or indeed in the Harpenden Wheat Hampstead area, like where you are, Martin.
Yeah. And they're all child friendly posts as well. So I don't post up videos or content that might not be suitable for children. So it's all safe. They're on our website. There is a page where I talk about different injuries of hedgehogs, and it is a bit more graphic. But on the social media, I tend to keep it child friendly.
That's brilliant. Great to know, and a great opportunity for our children to learn as well. Thanks a million, Martin. Great to chat to you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
Pleasure.
A few months ago, we spoke to David Pearce from Let's Play at Bernard's Heath, a charity who is raising funds for a new play area. And I caught up with David, who told her how much the fund had now reached and what the plans were for building the new playground.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on to Hertfordshire's Mix 92.6. My name is Andrea Nicolai, and my guest for the next few minutes is David Pearce, chairman of charity Let's Play at Bernard's Heath. We've previously had David on for an interview regarding this amazing project that consisted of the renewal of the Bernard Heath playground. And we are glad to announce that this dream is finally about to come true. In order to have a better overview of the entire project, I'll let David share with us all the updates. Hello, David, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Hi there, Andrea. Yeah, hi. Thanks very much for having me on.
I am very curious because of how things have progressed, and I'm pretty sure part of the community as well. Who doesn't love a good playground? Honestly, especially we're onto the parent show, and both kids and parents love this kind of idea. So my first question would basically like, right, so please remind our audience a few details about the Berners Heath playground. Who had the plan of renewing the playground and what was the reason behind it?
Sure. Well, I used to take my children to play at the Heath when they were little, and although it was fun for a good number of years, I always felt the playground was rather uninspiring and really quite dated. Also, with the unguarded drops from the main climbing frame, it's a pretty dangerous place for them to play. What actually happened when my son was around 7, he told me it was starting to get a bit boring up at the Heath, as the playground only had a few things to play on, and there wasn't even a goal there. A local resident then told me actually some of the play equipment was already 20 or 25 years old at that point. So it really got me thinking, and I contacted the council just to see if they had any plans for its refurbishment, but sadly they didn't, really just due to lack of budget. So instead they put me in touch with a local group called the Friends of Berners Heath, as they've got some great contacts with the local community. And they felt it would be an ideal organisation to sort of kickstart any potential campaigns through. So, back then I joined them as a committee member, and that's sort of how things first began to get started.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think for all of us, that could be a very good reason to kickstart something like this. For how long have you been fundraising, and how did you succeed in fundraising the remaining necessary funds?
So in 2019, some money came available from the council through what's called a Section 106 agreement. That's where a nearby development was allowed to go ahead, so long as they then contributed some money towards any local community projects of this type of nature. That was, I think, around £38,000. So a good amount of money, but sadly it's not enough to buy a brand new playground of this size. A lot of the equipment's so expensive, with all of the specialty flooring and things like that as well. So it gave us a good grounding. And it was actually at that point when I then invited some other local parents to sort of join forces. And when we set up the charity, Let's Play at Berners Heath, as named by my daughter, was then born and sort of used to spearhead the campaign. Unfortunately, little did we know that just around the corner was COVID, which obviously slowed down us as long with the rest of the world. But after a few years and a sort of various smaller fundraising initiatives, such as we had Street Party, I did a sort of an online song, a bit like the BBC one during lockdown, and then various raffles, things like that. But we eventually won a grant from Tarmac for £25,000. And that sort of pushed us sort of onto the last stage of the campaign and towards our target of £100,000, which is what we're aiming for. And to close that gap, we've turned to the local community by running an engraved brick campaign, offering people the opportunity to receive an inscribed brick with their names or slogans and things like that written on them, which will now be proudly displayed at the entrance to the new playground once it opens early next year.
What an amazing journey, and what challenges. And, you know, it's incredible when people and community can come together in order to make such a beautiful dream come true. It is an absolute challenge. And as you said, especially as we've all dealt with lockdowns and everything, absolutely amazing. Can people still donate, and about till when? Are there like any online media platforms where people can find more details about this beautiful project, about the Berners Heath Park playground?
They absolutely can. So the last time I looked, we're actually on 97,500. So with one final push, we'll have the money to get all the pieces of equipment that have been included in the amazing new design from Haags. They're the playground equipment manufacturer that we've chosen. And although the engraved brick campaign is now all but closed, we're still accepting donations via our Just Giving page. And that'll actually be open right up until Christmas. That said, if you're very quick, you can still get an engraved brick It officially closed on the 5th, but the order form is just being finalised and will actually go in probably next week now. So all the details for the campaign are available at our website. That's www.letsplayatburnersheath.org or on our Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Anyone who wants to engrave Brick, I think this is the opportunity. And, you know, it's not just having that, but it's the support behind it. So, yeah, who can do that? That would be absolutely amazing. What is the deadline for having the playground completely rebuilt and ready to be used by the young ones and not only?
So the work actually begins on Monday, the 27th of November. It's around a sort of a 6-week build, something like that. So once we've sort of got the final bits and pieces done, any little snagging elements out the way, then it should all be ready in time for them to enjoy way before spring, hopefully middle end of January, something like that. And we just hope it's not too chilly for them, but we'll have an opening ceremony to celebrate it.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing. I don't think the weather can stand, you know, against children being out and about and playing, especially if there's something beautiful for them to kind of be able to use. And we all know UK weather, rain or shine, is like we're out and about. That's brilliant. That's quick. And it's great news. I had a quick look at the design and plan for Berners Heath Playground, and it looks absolutely amazing. Of course, I'm talking about the new playground. Who will this playground be addressed to? Who will be able to benefit from it?
Yes, the design from Hargs is truly inspiring. It's available on our website, as I just mentioned there, letsplayatburnersheath.org. And they've managed to incorporate so many fun things to play on and do. They really listened to us and included everything the community asked for and also a lot more besides. So the equipment will be aimed right across sort of, you know, 0 to 13 is the age range that it covers. So there really is something for everyone, including big kids too. But what I'm really pleased to say is that there's so many pieces of inclusive play equipment which will be there as well, for those with additional needs, they can also access and play alongside with everyone else, so that's really good. And we've also managed to get the football goal included, so I can finally keep my son happy now as well, even though he's much older now.
No, that's brilliant, because I do have quite a age range. I mean, I think my teenage one is 15. He would appreciate a bit of football, yeah. So that's good to have there. Whilst my youngest one, he's 9, so I know how important it is for them to have fun in a safe and beautiful, on a safe and beautiful playground. So from my point of view as a parent, I think this makes like a huge positive impact. What are your thoughts on the local community involvement and overall reaction regarding the fundraising and how the people were involved, the wish of rebuilding the playground that the community had?
To be honest, we've really been quite blown away by the positivity and the generosity that people have shown, particularly from parents with their contributions, their donations toward this great community campaign. It really will give all the families, all the local children, somewhere to meet and enjoy for many, many years to come. So giving them the chance to exercise and interact in the fresh air, learn new skills in a fun and, yeah, hopefully challenging environment as well. We've had fantastic support from so many different people and groups, companies in the area who've all got behind the project, including, I can mention a few here, the Friends of Berners Heath, of course, head teachers and parents and carers from the infant and junior schools, Tri Time Kids Rugby, the Jolly Sailor Pub, the Heath Bakery and Shop, and then some local companies, 13 Structures, Keith from there, and Neil at KJ Tate, Sarah at ABC, XYZ Childcare, and then also Rotary Lions Club, Battlefield Trust, and of course Tarmac as well. Without their grant, I don't think this would ever have happened for at least another year or more. So we really couldn't have done it, you know, without them, and asked for much more from the local community.
That's brilliant. We do say at Mix 92.6 that we do love local. That's kind of our slogan. And it's so heartwarming when projects like this come to life due to the involvement of the community. And we know as well how powerful that is. And it kind of brings a smile, not just onto my face, but I'm pretty sure to our listeners and the people that were involved, because I'm thinking that you must be quite chuffed, happy, overwhelmed with lovely feelings, knowing that this dream will come reality somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing to realize we're at the end of this journey. I've been, you know, involved with it for such a long time. It has been, you know, quite challenging at times. But when I saw the sign go up on the gates to say this playground will be closed, and a new playground being put in its place in just, you know, 6 weeks' time, really made it seem so real.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I do want to congratulate you and everyone else that has been behind this project. And I do hope that, you know, there will be other projects like this in our area, because it is so important, isn't it, for not just the physical health, but for the mental health, to be out, and for our children and for us to help creating a better, a nicer and a happier society. It's so important to be out and in the fresh air, to have activities, physical activities, and to play. And through playing, there's the laughter, there's the joy, which is so important, and it's just better for everyone. And I know that when kids play and they have fun, I know that the parents are happy as well. So I would say it's winning on both situations. Would you like to say thank you to anyone in particular that has been involved and supportive with the project so far? I know you've mentioned everyone, but is there anyone that you would think, like your wife, that has supported everything so far, or someone close from your family? Or
indeed, yeah. Well, I say there's so many people that I should thank in addition to those that I have just mentioned previously. There's Phil at the council, Alex, Catherine, and Mandy, who have been really supportive throughout. But there's probably too many to list here. If I sort of went through all of them, but really special thanks has to go to my fellow trustees, in particular Katie Mordecai, for her unwavering support and determination, working alongside me through thick and thin to get this new playground built, along with Nikki and Katie. You know, we did it. It's been, say, so tough at times, but and as you preempted, actually, I did think I really should mention my wife and family for her and their support over the years. It's been a tough slog, so challenging for fundraising in these difficult times, and I guess without her support I may have given up myself long ago. But so pleased to finally say, you know, we've got there, and I just can't wait to see the new equipment in place early next year for all the children of Burness Heath and their parents, carers, to come and enjoy.
I think everyone is so excited and looking forward to this big opening. I myself am one of them. What can I say? It brings joy. And whenever there's such good news after hard work, you can only wish and hope that there will be more projects. And I do want to say again, congratulations on to succeeding too. Because, you know, there's always the option of quitting. So if others would have maybe by now let go to the plan, you and everyone else behind it succeeded to keep on going. It's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, David, for being here with us today. It means a lot for our show, for our listeners, for our community. Thank you once again.
No problem. Yeah, you're very welcome. And I really should just give another quick shout. So if you do still want to get a brick with your names or logo or something on it, do get that in very, very soon indeed. All details still on our website, letsplayatburnessheath.org.
That's perfect. I'm pretty sure they will do so. So yes, thank you all for tuning in onto The Parent Show on Mix 92.6. Be blessed and stay happy.